welcome to the European Journal of Plastic Surgery Journal Club. Together with Plaster and Icoplast, we bring you the latest open access articles with unique insights from the authors and discussion with plastic surgery experts around the world. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy this month's episode. Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us for this month's episode of the European Journal of Plastic Surgery Journal Club. I'm your host, Demetrios Rhesus, and I'm a plastic surgery registrar in London, UK, and I'm president of our trainees association called Plaster. Today we'll be discussing and appraising a new open access article published in EJPS entitled Evaluation of a New Adipose Tissue Processing Method for Breast and Buttock Fat Grafting Procedures. It is written by senior author Dr. Massimo Gianfermi, and we're honored to be joined by him today. Dr. Gianfermi is head of the plastic surgery unit at the Centre Hospitalier de Bouvier in Paris in France, where he also works in the Clinique du Louvre. He is a specialist in reconstructive and aesthetic surgery, and we look forward to hearing more about his new technique and research. Thank you very much, Dr. Gianfermi, for joining us.
Thank you.
And we're also honored to be joined by Professor Michele Zocchi. He's our independent expert to discuss the article today. He is the adjoint professor of plastic surgery at the University of Padua in Italy, and he's also chairman and scientific director of the Educational Foundation Program of the Italian Society of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery. He also sits on the editorial board of EJPS and is a world-renowned pioneer in the field of regenerative surgery, and in particular the use of adipose tissue for body contouring. Thank you again for joining us, Professor Zocchi.
My pleasure.
And as always, we're joined by the Editor-in-Chief of EJPS, Dr. Horatio Mayer. He is the Deputy Head of the Plastic Surgery Service at the University Hospital Italiano de Buenos Aires in Argentina, and he's also the Chairman of the Education Committee of Icoplast. He's brought us all together today for this journal club, and thank you again, Horatio.
Thank you, Dimi, for your kind introduction.
And last but not least, we're joined by Dr. Carlos Ignacio Stoppani. He is the Chief Plastic Surgery Resident in the Department of Plastic Surgery at the Hospital Italiano de Buenos Aires in Argentina, working with Horatio. And he's going to present a summary of the article for us today. And so without further ado, I'll hand over to Ignacio.
Thank you very much. As Dimitri said minutes ago, I'm a plastic surgery resident at Hospital Italiano de Buenos Aires. And today I'm going to present this article. This retrospective study includes patients who were of legal age under French law greater than 18 years, who were operated by the investigators between May 2017 and June 2019. Inclusion criteria are patients underwent breast and buttock fat grafting procedure with a novel fat processing. The exclusion criteria include patients with composite breast or buttock augmentation, ongoing pregnancy or breastfeeding, no immunological disease, and the inability of the patient to understand the concept of the study and thus to provide informed oral consent. Well, the data analysis and collection performed with electronic case report forms, the fat resorption was evaluated based on the findings of clinical examination and photograph with the help of a qualitative scale according to which the resorption was graded as invisible, minimal, moderate, significant, or total by the authors. A statistical analysis was performed using a MedCAD software. This fat washer A300 device, it was used for harvesting and processing the adipose tissue through a combination of washing, micronization, and decantation. In this procedure, first, the adipose tissue is aspirated together with saline solution with the help of a white connector located under the harvesting cannula, as we see in these pictures. After that, here we see an schematic of the procedure. Here are the steps of the fat processing technique, a simultaneous harvesting of fat and saline. After that, the adipose tissue aspirated through a multi-hole cannula is thus mixes with saline solution coming from a bag of saline. The saline solution circulating more rapidly than the adipose tissue in the tubing provide a first washing of the fatty tissue as we see in image number two. After the aspirated material is decanted, the subnatant fluid is removed from the canister through a dedicated tubing and saline is added to the fat in the canister. Next, air is aspirated from the bottom of the device through an antimicrobial filter. This creates a slight wheel in the canister which allows completion of washing of the fat. The name given to this step of the processing, micronization, suggests that it decreases lobule size. The average patient follow-up in this study was a 7-month all fat grafting surgery were performed under general anesthesia. Antibiotic prophylaxis was administered to 88% of the breast augmentation patient, 100% of the buttock augmentation patient, and 4% of the breast reconstruction patient. No postoperative antibiotic was given. There was no preoperative complication. Infiltration was performed in all cases with saline solution and adrenaline. And no local anesthetic were used for the infiltration procedures. The number of patients, including this study, are 43 patients, all female, 17 breast augmentation patients, 8 buttock augmentation, and 24 breast reconstruction. 6 patients underwent both procedures and are included each one and the breast augmentation and the buttock augmentation group. In the reconstruction cohort, all the patients had a history of breast cancer, and among them, 75% had a history of total mastectomy and 25% had a history of lumpectomy. The fat grafting procedure was unilateral in 80% of the cases and bilateral in 20%. Here we see results and demographics and surgical data of the patients. As with the number I said before, we see in the breast reconstruction group, we have older patients with an elevated BMI and also a higher percentage of patients who are a smoker. We have, there are only 4 complications, 2 minors in the aesthetic breast augmentation group and 2 infections in the breast reconstruction group. These patients in the breast reconstruction groups were previously irradiated patients. The outcomes, as expected, some resorption was observed in all the patients. However, the resorption was described as minimal to moderate in most cases. In breast augmentation cohort, 82% of patients were satisfied to very satisfied with these procedures. In the buttock augmentation cohort, the satisfaction of the patient was nearly 90%, and 92% of the reconstruction cohort were satisfied to very satisfied with these procedures. In the discussion, the author says, to the best of our knowledge, no study has evaluated its safety and effectiveness in breast surgery. In the technique we use, fat graft density was correlated with decantation time. A longer decantation time led to a higher fat graft density, with a side effect being an increase in surgical time. When high density fat is required, an option is to reduce waiting time to use fats located in the superior part of the canister, just below the olifice. The average follow-up of this study was 7 months, which appears to be satisfactory according to the literature. In 95% of all the cases, the resorption was described as minimal to moderate, and patient satisfaction was also nearly 90% in all the groups. In 4 cases, undercorrection was reported, which may lead to consideration of an additional fat grafting session to reach optimal results. The rate of infection was also, according to the literature, in irradiated patients. The main limitation of this study, as the author said, lies in the assessment of fat graft survival was based fully on a qualitative evaluation by the surgeon. It can be concluded that the novel fat processing technique used in this study is safe and effective for breast and buttock fat grafting surgeries. Thank you very much for your hearing.
Thank you very much. You've covered a lot of the important points. So just before we begin our wider discussion, I'll just ask you a few points along the critical appraisal pathway to just touch on a few extra things that we've already covered a little bit, but just to go in a few more detail. So the first question for you is, did the study address a clearly focused issue?
Yes, totally. In my opinion, this study totally agree with the hypothesis and the topics that the author exposed in the beginning of the article. In my opinion, yes, the topic is defined well, and the cohort of patients is well-defined too.
Thank you. And did you find any sources of bias in the study at all?
In my opinion, the author mentioned that one of the limitations of the study is the method of evaluating fat grafting resorption, which is qualitative, but the authors acknowledge this limitation and expose it in their discussion. So it's an issue that the article had, but the authors acknowledge it. And I think they are very honest in their discussion.
And perhaps just lastly is always an interesting question. Do you believe the results of the study?
I think the results are very interesting and it's a very promising technique. And yes, I believe, and it's a very interesting study. And maybe it's the first step into a more large and a more objective way to evaluate the fat resorption. I think it's the first step into a bigger study. Yes, I believe in this study.
Lovely. Thank you, Ignacio. Yes, I think we'll touch on that in a little bit more detail in a little bit as well. But thank you so much for your summary and for your answers there. I'll hand over to Horatio now to ask a few questions to Massimo and to Prof. Zocchi.
Right, Dimi. Thank you. Well, first of all, I would like to thank Massimo for choosing our journal as an outlet of his work. I think this is a very interesting paper. And I have some questions to Massimo. First, the main flaw of this study is lacking of a control group. So perhaps, Massimo, do you think that, after a second study involving this new device, could be a study where a control group could be in those cases of bilateral procedures, having on the same patient using this new type of processing the fat in one side, and for instance, just fat obtained that through decantation on the other side, of course, often passing all the screening of an ethical committee. But perhaps, as we know that the success of the fat grafting many times depends on the sex of the patient, of the age of the patient, of also on the region where the fat was grafted, perhaps using the same patient but preparing the fat in two different ways, perhaps could be a good design to obtain more results or study with a higher level of evidence, perhaps.
Thank you for your return. And it's a very good question. For sure, when we designed this study, we have a thought, is it a good idea or not to compare to a more standard technique, such as cold mass centrifugation? But there is so many techniques to choose. For example, centrifugation. Other surgeons will say centrifugation is no more widely used. So we cannot find the best gold standard technique, in our opinion, for sure. And The second thing, it's a secret till now, but we are ongoing new study using objective volume variation to its passion. That means we are using 3D modelization before, just after 1 week, 3 weeks, 3 months and 1 year. So you was right. It's the first step to know if this procedure could be interesting compared to other procedure. And you're right, the qualitative evaluation of the two surgeons is not the best way at all to obtain precise result. So that's why we are using 3D evaluation in the ongoing study with photogrammetry and structured light. But it's prospective, and we have ethical accreditation only. We obtain ethical accreditation only 1 year ago. So it's ongoing study. We need time, and you know, with COVID disaster, this study has been a little stopped during few months, but I'm okay with you. And to answer to your question, the first thing, we don't have find the best gold standard with Eric Auclair. We are the two surgeons that we have done this study. And second part, we were already thinking about objective evaluation of this procedure. And so we don't think that it was useful to compare to a gold standard procedure. It was our choice.
Perfect. And this new study is a prospective one.
Yeah.
Yeah. One comment that I would like to share with you also is that, you know, there is software simulator currently available on the market where you can do simulations from photographs. So if using the data from your study that was a retrospective one, if you have photographs from your patient in different views, with those pictures, you can generate a simulation, a 3D simulation, and then you can compare with a current requiring scanning of the patient, and then do a calculation or more objective calculation of the degree of fat absorption. Exact. This is on the one side. The other thing is, no wonder that your two only cases of infection were irradiated patients. We all know that irradiated patients usually infection are much common. I noticed that you prescribe, first of all, I would like, what kind of antibiotic prophylaxis do you prescribe to your patients and for how long? And I noticed that, for instance, of course, patient of bad augmentation, 100% of all of them received antibiotic. And for those having breast reconstruction, just few of them. And the last part of the question is, you are changing your practice now with this data. Are you prescribing antibiotics to all your reconstructive patients now, or you're keeping the same protocol?
Okay, my answer will be in the first part for aesthetic cases. All the aesthetic cases has been done by Eric Auclair. Okay, and in his practice, he used in antibiotics for every buttock lipofilling. And in clinics in France, it's more common to use antibiotic prophylaxis. In the hospital, I do not use the antibiotic prophylaxis because thus far, it's the Society of French Reanimation say if there is low risk of infection, if the surgery duration is less than 3 hours, we do not say that it's a good idea to put antibiotics. It's a recommendation of this authority. And for legal issue, we follow exactly what is recommended by this group. And after this study, we are now talking with our anesthetist in order to use every time, even we are in closed system, so the risk of infection is lower than open system, but there is some manipulation. And you're right, we are talking to them to put every time antibiotics. And in France, the most common one is cefazolin antibiotics. It's a C3G antibiotics.
Wonderful. One thing that I would like to share with you, one of my main field of interest is breast reconstruction. And in our practice for irradiated patients, we always use trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole as an antibiotic. Okay. It's a very good study that is a level 2 study carried out by Joseph Sarletti in New Jersey. Well, he was able to demonstrate that those patients and where that receive it, who receive it, trimetoprim, sulfamethoxazole as an antibiotic, they were able to reduce the incidence of infection in irradiated patients. So this is an advice also for you.
I take in count and I will share that with my anesthetist. Thank you.
Wonderful. And well, I almost said, perhaps we can move to Michele, that certainly he'll have a very valuable input.
It's a pleasure to be with you today. And as a matter of fact, it's funny because when I first received your invitation to be the expert in this club journal, I thought it was only because I'm the chief editor of the section of regenerative surgery. And as a matter of fact, this paper is transitional between traditional plastic surgery with fat transplantation and regenerative purposes. And reviewing the article, I then realized that I was the reviewer, the one that gave some do you allow me a little bit of our time to the authors, because I ask a major review. And I need to thank the authors because they have been extremely compliant with my request. And as a matter of fact, between the first edition of the article that I asked for a revision to the second one, there is almost 4 pages more in length and extension. They integrate and they develop a lot all the points that we asked to be deepened. And so this, I'm very grateful to the authors, and I would like to express very high appreciation for that. Well, as a matter of fact, there is few points that I would like to highlight. The first point is that I don't totally agree about the fact that it's a new technique. I will say that it's probably a new way or a new instrument to harvest fat in order to get a more suitable material to be transplanted in many areas of the body. But as has been very well highlighted in my very first remarks to the authors, I'm sure that Massimo is reminded that, I said, I personally feel that it's not existing a fat graft that they can fit all the clinical needs. So I feel that in 2020, we should in some way tailor-made, custom-made, the type of the fat that we prepare, so adapting the way we harvest the fat, adapting the way, and not only the way, but also the region where we harvest the fat, the way we manipulate the fat, the way we condensate the fat, and the way we reimplant the fat. Because this is changing from one region to the other region, from one clinical need, just for a cosmetic purposes or reconstructive purposes, from breast to buttocks, there is a sideral space between. It's like the heart to the moon. In order to get better results and to minimize complication. Whenever you are injecting fat in the breast tissue, in the breast anatomical area, both for cosmetic purposes or for reconstructive surgery, the main goal is trying to reduce as much as you can the quantity of triglycerol, the lipidic fraction of the adipose tissue. These need to be in some way condensed, because the only factor that is at the origin of major complications such as oil cyst, liponecrosis, macrocalcification, and in some way an unpredictable way to know how is going to behave the fat during the time, through the time. This has been my observation since more than 30 years now with breast fat transplant. So I understand that this system in some way is creating a flow of fluid that in some way is disrupting not just the adipocyte, but of cells, because in order to be able to disrupt the adipocyte himself, in order to get the oil coming out of the cells, the action need to be way stronger, either chemical action with the use of enzyme that we are banning since more than 6 years, no way to use any more enzyme in our practice, in our OR, or mechanical. But when we are talking about mechanical, we need a strong mechanical force. You are talking about the name micronization. Micronization is in some way implying that you disrupt the adipocyte. You don't only separate the adipocyte. And I cannot believe that the only fluid flow is able in some way to disrupt adipocyte. And one question I have for Dr. For Massimo is how much supernatant oily fraction you find in your samples when you collect the fat in your canister? Because looking very careful, I don't see any oily layer on the top. Is that true or am I wrong?
For the answer, first, the term micronization. We put some, I don't know the word in English, but you know, because in reality, when we do this procedure, we just want to reduce the volume of each fat unit. We don't think, and this the reality, we don't separate each adipocyte each to other. We are okay about what you are saying. It's not really micronization. It's just a diminution of each fat unit. First, second,
Massimo, what you means with unit? It means cell clusters? It means you are reducing the size of the cluster just disconnecting from one each other. Is that correct?
Is disconnected, because when we are doing the harvesting, we are using a 3 millimeter multi-hole cannula. And thanks to this, we obtain the fat unit dimension. But after the harvesting, some of them are put in together, and the micronization is not this procedure allow a new suspension of this fat unit done by the cannula, not done by the procedure. Is it more clear?
I do agree. That is exactly what was my remark, if you remember. Yeah. In the first remarks I did on my first review.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
I do appreciate you for changing many points. And what is important is to understand that we are in a very special moment in plastic surgery, because we are progressively transitioning from traditional plastic surgery to regenerative plastic surgery. And I think that especially you, young but very important pillars of our specialty, you will become very, very, very soon the ambassadors of this new way to approach plastic surgery. So we need to be careful in using also labels. I will leave the terms micronization to techniques more similar, for example, to microlysers. Microlyser is a system where originated from a new technique where you pass the fat through thousands of very small blades and with blunt force. In that situation, you really cut down and you might make a micronization process to the fat. Otherwise, I will probably see better in your technical level like condensation, that, by the way, is something that has been used with other techniques, but at the present moment is what you are trying to get, a more condensed situation, separating the fluid and trying to get a material that will be more dense. And one remarks that I was saying that you say the more time you wait for decantation, denser material you get. Of course, this is normal, but the price that you have to pay is a longer time in the year, so higher cost, and this is normal. So I think this should be in some way took into consideration whenever we use new systems, not new technique. The technique is still the same, harvesting the fat in the most reliable way, the safer way, and try to manipulate the fat in way to condense it and adapt it to the place where we are going to reinject.
I have to answer to this part because I have to tell you, before using fat washer device, the time to do 400 cc lipofilling in breast reconstruction was barely 1 hour and a half to 2 hours using Coleman techniques with centrifugation. After the fat washer technique, and I need one resident and one nurse, after switching to the fat grafting, this device for fat grafting, I only need 1 hour, and it's long 1 hour for me, to do alone I don't need the resident. My resident is with me and he is doing a part of the surgery, but only 1 hour to do the same amount of fat transfer. That's the 15 minutes to wait are very low compared to the time I earn using this device. For the time, it's in reality an advance for me. Second thing, you're right, the patient's fat is different. If the oily fat could be very low in some patients, but as you see, my patient in reconstructive surgery, I have a higher BMI. And for this patient, the oily fat is more visible and important. We are barely to 15%, 20% of our totally fat sometime. So it depends of the patient, this fat. And in my practice, more than the way you are making the harvesting, because there is standard way to harvest the fat. And sometimes we have barley, not oily fat, and sometimes we have...
You know, Massimo, plenty. Depending on the level of manipulation of the adipose tissue, you can get from non supernatant oily fraction up to 65% of oily fraction, depend which are your aims, depending on the technique you are using. And you cannot imagine that has been well demonstrated already by Madeleine Lejour 20 years ago almost, that 60% of the breast tissue is mostly represented by the oily fraction. And if you have a look, most of the complication whenever you implant fat in the breast, both for aesthetic purposes or even more in reconstructive purposes, are originating by the oily fraction. Because there is a very important point that how much do you believe that the fat you transplant is going to survive, not under the point of way of quantity, but under the point of way of the quality. It means if you make a marking of the original adipocyte that you are transplanting, you will see your period of observation is still pretty short, only 7 months. But between 6 to 14 months, you will see that less than 10% of the original adipocyte that you reimplanted are not anymore there. But you still can have volume because you have two adipocytes originated by the precursors that they were all around the adipose tissue before you inject. That's the main point. So quality is important at least as much as quantity that is surviving. And that is a very important point that I'm always stressing whenever I make my own presentation or whenever I'm in some way making lesson to my students or something like that. That is very important.
You're right. In the next study, we are doing evaluation of mesenchymal cells after harvesting before reinjection. You're right, the study of cells of precursors is very important to know exactly what is the volume. We can see the result, we can make objective evaluation of volume, but to know exactly what happened under the skin needs more evaluation and not clinical.
And if you remember, it was at the second point of my reviewer remarks. I say, please try to do some characterization of the surface marker. And you remember that. But it's a different, probably there is a lot of space for future papers that they will be more than welcome to be published in the section of regenerative surgery of the journal. Horacio, any other issue you want to eventually, we still have time or we need to speed up?
We have some questions from the attendants. Perhaps, yeah. Dimi, you can tell Massimo the questions from the audience.
So the main questions we've had have actually been covered by the discussion in large part, but a few questions have come in. I'll just characterize it, bring together a few questions. With regards to any method that requires decantation of the fat and even some slight air exposure as well during the processing, is there risk of apoptosis of the stem cells? I guess this is something that you will look into in your prospective study, but there's a few techniques and descriptions in the literature of decantation causing some disruption to the stem cells. And it'd be interesting to know your thoughts on that and how that, specifically that's being addressed in the new study.
The answer is the decantation using this device is not very long. It's about 15 minutes. Degradation of stem cells seems, I think, has to be not very much. I cannot promise you because we don't have make any study about the stem cell during this first paper, but it's in a, we are thinking about that and we, it's already included in the ongoing study. But, you know, the decantation about 15 minutes using our system of concentration, I think is a good word, will not affect a lot stem cell, in my opinion. But we have to make new study and new tests to be sure about that.
May I say something regarding the, I heard the word apoptosis of stem cells. By the way, both words are, I would say, not inappropriate, but probably they are not the one that should be used in this situation. First one, there is no stem cells yet. Just a minimal potential amount of precursors originated mainly by the, from the pericytes that has been mobilized during the processes of harvesting the fat. And pericytes should undergo a progressive change from pericyte to activated pericyte, to precursors of mesenchymal stem cells, and then in the final step, mesenchymal stem cells. And only one pericyte over three can complete this process of transformation from original pericyte mobilized by the trauma and to mesenchymal stem cells that can in some way be rebuilding his niche system in the recipient site. And this is about the future of stem cells. Future of stem cells is more dependent on the recipient site because stem cells are and precursors are way stronger than what you can believe. They are certainly not be affected by your process of concentrating the fat or many other processing, even sonication, even the emulsion that you can use for using, I don't know, liposaver or vaser can be used to be transplanted because vitality and viability of these precursors are still very high. What is happening is when you implant, what is the most important, where we need to focus our attention, is on the recipient side. There can happen, not the apoptosis. Apoptosis is the very, very final step, is the anoikis. Anoikis is the separation from the extracellular matrix and the cellular component. That is the very first step that it can happen for 15, 20 reasons, different reasons. And in your technique is not the technique you use for harvesting or the way you proceed with your instrument is really in, absolutely not impacting on the quality of the material that you're injecting. Is the way you prepare the recipient site, the type of the strategy that you use for condensating and concentrating, and even more important, for enriching your graft, especially when you are dealing with reconstructive surgery. A new paper, you know, is will be very soon on our journal, hopefully within 1 month, that it will be totally focusing on this type of topic.
Thank you so much. That, yeah, that would be amazing because it's something that I think is clearly, yeah, very easy to misunderstand and not to appreciate the science behind it as well. So that's really important. Thank you so much. Just one final question, I think, before we start to bring the discussion to a close. I think, Horatio, you've pressed on the button here, but it's just with regards to the discussion we had earlier with antibiotic prophylaxis. And Dr. Gianfoni mentioned the study in France with regards to the timing of the surgery being a key factor. And Kazem El-Masri asks if there's any other factors that are a key to deciding whether or not to give antibiotic prophylaxis either at the time of surgery or postoperatively.
In reality, the French Plastic Society has not recommendation for antibiotics prophylaxis. So in the hospital, and it's common to many hospitals because I have asked to my colleague, they are focusing on SFAR, French Society of Anesthetists. And the only thing that they are checking is the time of surgery, if there is a lot of blood loss, if it's high contamination potential surgery, such in ORL surgery. And in most of time, there is no high contamination probability. There is very low blood loss, and the surgery is during less than 3 hours. That's why we don't use, till now, antibiotic prophylaxis. But as you see, the reconstructive patients are more sensitive, are more complicated. And for this patient, we don't have to think about study, but we are just talking together to use for this patient antibiotic prophylaxis, because you're right, high BMI, diabetes, radiotherapy, and more could be very important to take in account when we are thinking about antibiotic prophylaxis, because these patients are more difficult, the risk of infection seems to be higher. But we have to check during the next study, because we are checking all these facts and recording them to the study to see if there is any risk factor to the resorption rate and to the infection rate.
Thank you very much. Horatio, did you have anything to mention there?
Just talking about antibiotic prophylaxis, I would like to ask Massimo, if when the surgery takes longer than 3 hours, if you use it, they use just a single dose through the IV, or they continue in the post-op per mouth for how long? 3 days, 5 days, 1 week? Do you have any protocol regarding that? No, a single dose?
Single dose in aesthetic or reconstructive for Eric Auclair and me. Single dose.
Okay.
And if the surgery is during more than 6 hours, we repeat the same antibiotics every 3 hours.
Okay. That's it.
Lovely. Thank you. It's been a really interesting discussion about this technique and the potential as well for further study, which it's great to hear that you're doing already, and already the further papers as well that Professor Zocchi has mentioned maybe in the journal soon to enhance our understanding of these techniques and how we can take them forward. So thank you so much for the discussion of the article, and thank you, Ignacio, for your presentation at the beginning. Just before we finish, I thought it'd be nice if we ask Dr. Gianfermi and Prof. Zocchi, just for your advice for the trainees. We have a lot of trainees listening at the moment and who'll listen on the podcast. And perhaps first, Dr. Gianfermi, what's your advice to trainees to get involved in research during their plastic and aesthetic training and to develop this in a proactive way?
For me, the research has to be focused on our practice and the projection of our way to do surgery. If you are resident and you want to do reconstructive surgery, mammary reconstructive surgery, very soon in your practice, you have to focus your research on this way, because so early you begin, better you will be, in my opinion. It's the only advice to everything, is to begin as soon as possible and to be the best in one specific area.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's never too early to start, so everyone get starting. Prof. Zocchi.
Let me give you two types of perspective. The first one, coming from an old dinosaur, as I am, that I just want to remind you, and I still remember that as it was yesterday, what at the end of 4 months spent with my great master and becoming also a great friend, Ortiz Monasterio, when I left, he said, Michael, Miguel, recuérdate que la mejor cirugía que vas a hacer siempre es la que tú sepas decir no. Michael, remember, the best surgery that you will be able to perform will be the one that you will be able to refuse to do. This is something that please keep in mind, because when we feel to be strong, when we feel to be prepared to be in face of any type of complication, this is the moment that you are going to crash. And I learned that on my own skin, and I learned that, unfortunately, over the skin of my patients. too often for my taste. But this is my dinosaur old man perspective. Let me give you now the perspective of a dinosaur that still feels young and active. What I will say to the new force of plastic surgery, what I told at the beginning of this conference, of this meeting, where is the future? The future is in regenerative surgery, because regeneration means not only to repair the anatomy of the organ, but it is also to repair function, mixing so many potential entities already existing in the human body. I mentioned pericyte. Pericyte has been described by a friend of mine, one of the best molecular biology in the world, Arnold Kaplan, in 1993. And Kaplan told at that time, keep in mind, pericyte are the drugstore of the human body. And this is true, and this is exactly what we are seeing. So the new people, residents, is exactly what we are doing at Padova University through the very long-sighted vision of our chief of department, Franco Bassetto, that he focused, when he called me back in Padova 2.5 years ago, he focused all his effort on regenerative surgery, because this is the future. And you need to keep in mind that as a plastic surgeons, we are the only real expert that should interface with all the other specialties. Why? Because this has been very well demonstrated. The most powerful source, the most powerful common component of regenerative procedures are originated from the adipose tissue. Adipose tissue has contained 1,000 times more concentration of precursor of mesenchymal stem cell than bone marrows. With the newest technique, like microlysers, we can get up to 20 nucleated cells from 1 cc of stromal vascular fraction originated from the adipose tissue. And from this, 6, 8, 10% of these nucleated cells are precursors, mesenchymal stem cells. And we are the best in the world to be able to deal with adipose tissue. So we have a tremendous power in our hands. We need to interface with all the other specialties. You cannot imagine how many other specialties. And plastic surgery is probably the one that is still using the minimal potential of regenerative technologies. Orthopedic surgery, rheumatology, urogynecology, reparative gynecology, pain management, this only with implantation. If you look at other specialty using intravenous preparation, like cardiology, for example, so many others, pneumology, we have an ongoing study at Padova University on the use of sales derivate for healing the interstitial fibrosis post-COVID. So there is a huge panorama. So my recommendation to the young people is, please look at the regenerative procedures coupling with your skill with the plastic surgery as the future of our specialty. And you know, we have a full chapter in our journal fully dedicated to this topic, and I'm not receiving papers. Please send your experience, even the simplest one, even case reports in this specific field. Horacio, you allow that, even a case report, even if it's not our policy.
They are allowed.
Okay, because this is important. So thank you so much. It's been a great session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was amazing to hear. And yeah, you've inspired all the trainees, I'm sure, to think about this new aspect of plastic surgery, of regenerative surgery, which in our training, especially in the UK, we don't have a focus perhaps on that. So it's great to hear your passion for that and to take that forward. And through the journal and through these discussions and through teaching the next generation, hopefully we can expand on that. So thank you so much. That was amazing. With that, I think we'll close the Journal Club. Thank you so much for an amazing discussion. Thank you again, Ignacio Stoppani, for your amazing summary and appraisal at the start.
Thank you.
Thank you, as always, Horatio, for making this Journal Club possible and for looking after EJPS.
Thank you, Dimi, your wonderful support of Plasta UK and ICOPLAS that makes this Journal Club a successful one, and I hope to see you all you guys on our next edition that will be takes place on April.
Absolutely, yeah, we look forward. Thank you again, Massimo Gianfermi, for your amazing study and your great discussion.
Thank you for invitation, and it was very interesting. Thank you.
And thank you as well, Professor Michele Zocchi, for your great input and advice for the trainees.
Thank you. It's been really great pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for attending. As Horatio said, we'll see you in April for the next episode of the EJPS Journal Club. Thank you for listening to this month's European Journal of Plastic Surgery Journal Club. Please send us your thoughts about the article on social media using the hashtag EJPS Journal Club. Thank you again, and see you in 2 months for our next episode.